Philippians chapter 4, let's read the Word of God together, please, and follow the Scriptures as we read the opening verses. Philippians chapter 4, from verse 1 down to verse number 7. Let's follow the reading of God's holy and God's precious Word. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech you, Odias and Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with others of my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We're going to keep our Bibles open. We'll bow our heads for a word of prayer and ask God's blessing upon the ministry of His Word this morning. Let's pray. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this morning that we can gather around Thy precious Word. O God, we desire to hear Thee speak. We pray that Thou wilt open up the Scriptures to our hearts, and may we have an open heart to receive what Thou dost say in Thy precious Word. We confess today that, O God, that we need Thy help. We need, O God, Thine understanding. Open our understanding, and, O God, just help us to take in what the Spirit saith unto Thy people. And so bless Thy Word in this house this morning, and do us good. And, Lord, whatever our need is in our hearts, we pray that that need may be met in Christ Jesus. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. In this fourth chapter of the book of Philippians, we were drawing your attention last Lord's Day to some of the problems that God's people were facing in their ordinary lives and in the life of the family of God. Last Lord's Day morning, we were talking about the problem of defeatism. How that it says there in the opening verse, it says, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy, my crown, so stand fast in the Lord. And that was exhorting them to stand firm in the Lord, because there were those that, because of problems that they faced, had given up hope. And how easy that is to be among even the people of God. The spirit of defeatism. They had to take a stand in the Lord. And then secondly, we noticed the second problem was disagreement. Because there were two sisters in the fellowship here at Philippi, and Paul is writing from prison, but somehow he knows about the problems that are faced in the family of God in the church at Philippi. One sister was called Euodias, and the other was called Syntyche. And we find that these two sisters were exhorted, I beseech Euodias, and I beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. In other words, he was calling upon them to have a one mind in the Lord. And as I said, sometimes people can be difficult to love, and yet God commands us to do it. Sometimes people are hard work to work with, yet God commands us to do it. And so therefore we find that you say, well, maybe these two sisters had little in common. Well, they had something wonderful in common, because notice the last words, to be of the same mind in the Lord. And therefore, they were in the Lord. And being the Lord's children, they had so much in common, far more than they ever perhaps anticipated. And so there is a spirit here and a problem of disagreement. But there was another problem that I believe that many were facing in this particular church as well. And it is depression. You'll notice in verse number 4, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And he says, "Again I say," he repeats it, he says, "Again I say, rejoice." You see, the spirits among some of the church at Philippi was running low. There were those that were downcast. They were disheartened. They were depressed. And you know, it is true that so often we can be easily discouraged. Sometimes it takes a lot to encourage people. It certainly doesn't take a lot to discourage them. And in the family of God here, there were those who were discouraged, they were disheartened. You know, it is refreshing whenever you meet someone, and you know, they're a breath of fresh air because they're rejoicing in the Lord. Every time I go to see her sister Louise, Louise Wells, I must confess, you don't go to be a blessing to her, but she blesses your soul because you ask her, "How are you, Louise?" And the answer is, "Great." Now, friend, here is a sister who has great bodily needs. And humanly speaking, that is not the answer, but in her heart and in her spirit, that is the answer. Her answer is great. As I said with her yesterday morning in hospital, and once again, I said, "Well, Louise, how are you?" She said, "I'm great." And then she lifts up her little arm and she says, "You know, the Lord is so good. He's so good to his people." And friend, you know, that's refreshing whenever you find someone that has that spirit of rejoicing in the Lord under every circumstance. Because quite often it is true that our circumstances determine the extent of our joy. Now, I believe that Paul had to encourage these people by saying, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice because they weren't rejoicing. They were downcast. You say, well, why were they downcast? Well, I don't know the particular problems. What I do know is this, that the one that they loved in the ministry is in prison. Paul's in prison for his testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for the Lord. And so they're downcast because their preacher, their minister, the one that they loved, that edified and blessed them, encouraged them, and built them up in the faith, and started the work at Philippi, is now suffering in prison. Perhaps they were downcast about that. There was division amongst the people of God. Here were two sisters in the family of God, and they're at war the one with the other. And he's begging them. He says, I beseech you, sisters, that you be of the same mind in the Lord. And so the division amongst the saints of God had robbed the church at Philippi of its joy. When we wander into sinful paths, we lose our joy in the Lord, and when we lie down in defeat instead of standing firm in the faith, then we lose our joy. Here's a man writing from prison, and what's the theme of his letter? The dominant theme of his letter is the joy of the Lord. Praising God even in the midst of the time of battle. I was thinking of the words over there in the book of the Acts of the Apostles in the chapter number 5, whenever God's servants were suffering for their testimony of Christ. They also have been arrested in Acts chapter 5. It tells me in that passage of God's word, it says in verse number 41, "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for Jesus' name." They had suffered shame. They were as the offscouring of the earth for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they weren't bitter in spirit. They weren't angry in spirit. They weren't arguing with God. My, when they left that council that day, they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame. They rejoiced that they were suffering for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. George B. Duncan called his studies from Philippians the life of continual rejoicing. The life of continual rejoicing. Or as another preacher said over his exposition of the book of Philippians, living joyfully. Living joyfully. Now you'll notice in this verse number 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. The word rejoice there means to be glad or to be cheerful. It's a description of a heart that is filled with joy, overflowing with the praise of the Lord. In chapter 3, in verse number 1, it says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. In chapter 4, here it says, in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. And then he adds in other words, always. And again, I say rejoice. I want you to notice three simple things this morning from this passage or this verse of God's precious word. First of all, the command to rejoice. It says, rejoice in the Lord. Now, Paul's not making a suggestion here. He's not making a recommendation here. He's giving a command in the name of the Lord. He says you are to rejoice in the Lord. And if you're saved this morning, and if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if your sins are forgiven and you're on your way to heaven, then you have every reason to rejoice. You can rejoice in the Lord. Every child of God should rejoice. I was reading afresh this week in the book of the Psalms. I want you to turn back to the book of the Psalms just for a moment, please. And we'll start at Psalm 150. In other words, we'll start at the end. And we'll go back a wee bit. But notice what it says in Psalm 150. Before the psalmist draws to a close, his psalm, he says this, praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet, praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with a tremble and the dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. And then he says this, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath, every man and woman, boy and girl ought to be praising the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord this morning. Look at Psalm 149. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful. Be joyful in their king. Is that your spirit this morning? As you've come to God's house, have you come with a spirit of joy? Psalm 147, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. You see that word comely? That word simply means to be at home with, to be at home with. It's the right thing to do. Are you at home with praising God this morning? Is your heart this morning? Are you rejoicing in the Lord? We sang this morning that hymn. We're rejoicing night and day as we walk this pilgrim way, for the hand of God in all my life I see. When God's people gather together to worship God, they ought to praise him. Go to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Psalm 100. It says there in the verse number 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. That's the spirit that ought to be among the people of God, friend. Go to Psalm 106. Psalm 106, verse 48. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say amen. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. In other words, hallelujah. And is it not true that many of God's people have lost their amens and hallelujahs today? Where have they got to? I remember when God's people, whenever they heard a word from the Lord, they were saying, amen, brother. Amen. Means, so let it be. That's what Abram said whenever God promised him that he'd give him the seed. He says, look at the stars, and he says, I'll give you the seed as the stars of heaven. And Abram said, amen, Lord, amen. Amen. He believed God. He believed God. And so it says here, let all the people of the Lord say, amen. And then shout, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. Have you lost your amens? Have you lost your hallelujahs? Have you lost your joy? Because I can tell you, whenever it says, let all Israel from everlasting, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting, let all the people say, and all the people say, amen, hallelujah. Psalm 118. Verse number 24, it says this. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it. I've said it before and I'll say it again, brethren. God's people ought to be the happiest people in the world. The children of the Lord have a right to shout and sing. Their way is growing bright. Their souls are on the wing. We're going by and by to a palace of a king. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, some people give this impression that God's child is somehow to be doleful. He's to be dour. God's children to be the very opposite. God's child is walking with God that knows that God's in control of everything, that we don't need to fear anything because God's our shield and God's our exceeding great reward. Why shouldn't we be praising Him? Why shouldn't we be rejoicing in Him when we see the greatness of our God? He is the fountain of our joy. Billy Sunday says, if you have no joy in your religion, he says there's a leak in your Christianity. There's an awful lot of leaky Christians. It's just a leak in your Christianity. And that leak comes, of course, and can come from a variety of causes. But I can tell you, real joy in the Lord comes from one source, the fountain of joy. You see, the Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. And if you're walking with God, friend, and if you're filled with the Spirit of God, you'll be happy in the Lord. What do the psalmists cry out in Psalm 51? He says, God, restore unto me the joy. I've lost the joy. And brethren and sisters in Jesus Christ this morning, I say there are many of God's children need to pray that prayer. God, give me back the joy that I have in Christ. Give me back the joy that once I had in Jesus. Because I've lost the joy. You see, joy's powerful. A joyful Christian. That's a powerful thing. Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's your strength. And in days of adversity, and in days of darkness, and in days of testing, being happy in the Lord, being joyful in the Lord, will keep you strong. We have often read in the book of Habakkuk those words, and it tells us in Habakkuk chapter 3 and in the verse 17, although the fig tree shall not blossom, Neither shall fruit be in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail. The field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold. There shall be no herd in the stall. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. And I know the farmers have had a hard time, and they face an uncertain future, friend. But let me tell you, here we find they were having a hard time. The fig tree, there was no blossom, and there was no fruit in the vine, and the olive tree had failed, and the fields had yielded no meat, and the flocks, they were cut off from the fold, and there was no herd in the stall. Everything had gone. He says, yet I'll rejoice in the Lord. And when I have nothing, thank God I still have Christ. I still have the Lord. When all of those other things have disappeared. Do you remember whenever Paul and Silas was in prison? And they were lying there in that old dark dungeon. And they were the laughing stock of all the other prisoners and were thrown into the inner place. What did it say? At midnight, in the darkest hour of the night, it says, Paul and Silas sang praises unto the Lord. Have they lost their joy? No. It says, Paul and Silas prayed. And they sang praises unto the Lord. You see, friend, the prophet in the book of Habakkuk, his mind wasn't on his losses. His mind was on his Lord. Paul and Silas, whenever they were lying in that old prison, and their bodies were aching because they were beaten sore for their testimony of Jesus Christ, but listen, they forgot the sting. And they thought of the Savior. Because, thank God, the Savior was stronger than the suffering. You see, not only is there a command here to rejoice, but secondly, there's a continuation of rejoicing. Because notice there's a little word there in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord alway. 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 You know, I was thinking about the difference between happiness and joy. And to be honest, before God, friend, those two emotions are different. Happiness and joy. Those two emotions are different. They're not the same. Because happiness is external. It's circumstantial. You say, how do you get that, preacher? Listen, think of the word. Happiness. Happenings. Happenings. Your happiness is connected with happenings. Your circumstances. And whenever your circumstances are good, you're happy. But if your circumstances are tough and the going's rough and my, the road's hard to tread, my, you lose your happiness. Because happiness is external. But joy is internal. For joy is a delight of the mind, resting in the assurance that the soul is right with God. And you and I can and must rejoice, and we must praise the Lord. What did the psalmist say in Psalm 34? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You see, our joy is not something that's powerful. Praise God, our joy is something that's permanent. It's something that lasts even whenever happenings and circumstances change. Our joy in the Lord remains. We can delight ourselves in earthly friendships. But let's be honest. Death can come and destroy the that's destroyed by death. We can delight ourselves in worldly pleasures. But remember what Moses said. The pleasures of sin were only for a season. We can delight ourselves in material wealth. But you know, it's never really enough, is it? Always looking for more. But we also can remember in these days of recession that there are men that one day had wealth and the next day they had nothing. It can disappear. We can delight ourselves in fleshly fame, but we all know how quickly that can fade. And everything that a man has done that made him famous can in a moment of time be forgotten. We can delight ourselves in physical beauty, but we all know this, that that physical beauty can be disfigured by age. And the face without a wrinkle can change because of the passing of time. But friend, whilst these objects of our joy don't endure, they can vanish away in a brief moment. You thank God our joy in the Lord. It lasts forever. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say? Just keep your hand there. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 15. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ said to his children. He said, verse number 9, John chapter 15, verse 9, "As the Father hath loved me, even so have I loved you. Continue ye my love. And if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Verse 11. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you." There's permanent joy. Not connected with happiness or happenings, connected with the Lord. "That my joy might remain in you," and whenever God's joy remains in us, thank God, then our joy shall be full. Our joy shall be full. My cup's full and running over. As the wee boy says, "My cup's full and so's my saucer." Because his cup was running over with joy. You see, in Habakkuk chapter 3, thank God we're joyful in the Lord in spite of the famines. We can be joyful in the Lord in spite of our foes. Because the word of God says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Always. Let's go back to Psalm 119 just for a moment. Psalm 119, verse 164. This is what it says. Psalm 119, verse 164. "Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments." Seven times a day do I praise thee. Could you write that? Honestly, could you write that? Is this your testimony? Seven times. "Lord, seven times a day do I praise you." Every day. Every day do I praise you, Lord. Seven times a day. A day filled with continual praise. Psalm 71 and verse 8, it says, "Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day long." All the day long. Now remember where Paul was writing this from, friend. "Rejoice in the Lord always." Where's he writing from? A prison. A prison cell. And in four simple chapters, the heart of them is rejoicing in the Lord. Don't forget, Paul, you see, not only was telling people to rejoice, he was doing the same himself. He was a rejoicing Christian. In Philippians chapter 1, We read chapter 4 this morning, but in chapter 1, and in the verse, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And many of the brethren in the Lord wax confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some of goodwill." Verse 18, "What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth Christ is preached, I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." You see, it's so easy to tell somebody else to do something. But Paul's not telling somebody else to do something that he didn't do himself. Praise God. He has the spirit of rejoicing in his own heart. I hear somebody say to me, "Do you really expect me to rejoice when times are hard? Do you expect me to rejoice whenever the road's rough?" What does it say there in Philippians 4, verse 4? "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice." Remember the old kettle that used to be in there? The old people used to have, not as much today, but they used to have the kettle on the fire. Remember the old kettle that used to sing? The old singing kettle. And I read a lovely wee statement this week, and it was simply this. A kettle is up to its neck in hot water, but it still sings. A kettle is up to its neck in hot water, and yet it still sings. Is that you and me as a Christian, friend? Because let me tell you, life's hard at times. The devil is after us. The world and the flesh and the devil comes against us. But I will rejoice in the Lord. That's what Habakkuk says. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. In spite of his floggings, Paul rejoiced. He sang praises unto the Lord. In spite of his fetters, Paul rejoiced in the Lord because his feet was in the stocks. In spite of his unknown future, Philippians chapter 2, verse 23 says, "Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I see how it will go with me." An unknown future. He didn't know whether he was getting out of prison or whether he was going to die at this time. And yet he still rejoiced in the Lord. He rejoices in the Lord even though of friendlessness, because friends forsook him. In the book of 2 Timothy and in the chapter 4 it says this, "Only Lucas with me." Verse 10 of 2 Timothy 4, "Demas hath forsaken me." Verse 14, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works." Verse 16, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me." And then he said this in verse 17, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, and he strengthened me." I got the Lord. See, the Word of God says this, rejoice in the Lord. And that brings me to the last thought, the confident of our rejoicing. Who was the object? Who was the subject of Paul's rejoicing? You ever heard the old statement, just grin and bear it, you know? Nothing you can do about it, so just grin and bear. That's not what Paul's saying. Paul's not saying grin and bear it. No, no. He says, the Lord's the reason of your rejoicing. Just think of who he is, friend, for a moment as we finish. And think of what God has done. When we consider the gift of his strength for our weakness, is that not a cause for rejoicing? When we consider the availability of His wisdom in making our decisions, is that not a cause for rejoicing? When we consider His promises, the promises of His presence as we walk the road of life, no matter how hard it is that not a cause for rejoicing? When we reflect upon His unchanging person, I am the Lord and I change not, and in a changing age and a changing person like you or me, and yet God never changes, is that not a cause of rejoicing? When you remember His mercies that are new every morning, I was just quoting that to our sister Louise yesterday. His mercies are new every morning, Louise said, great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. What does Proverbs 16, verse 20 say? Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Are you trusting the Lord this morning? Time's away. Are you really trusting the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know Him as your Savior? Do you know what it is to come as a sinner to Christ and acknowledge that you're without Jesus, without hope? For He's the only way, He's the only truth, He's the only life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Do you know what it is to lay your head on the pillow at night and know that your sins are forgiven, that they're blotted out, never to be remembered against you anymore? Do you know what it is to have God's peace in your soul, to know that no matter what comes, no matter what happens, that you're in the hand of the Lord? Do you know what it is to rest on the promise that all things work together for good to them that love God? That no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly? Do you know what it is? You see, friend, those things are in the Lord. And before you can claim the promises that God has given, you've got to know the Savior. And praise God, if you know Christ, then no matter what else happens, you know all's well. One little verse, and I'll leave it with you this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Notice what it says, friend. In everything give thanks. This is the will of God concerning you. This is personal, you. And if you love Jesus Christ, friend, then you'll only want His will. And sometimes, you see, for Paul, that meant death. But then Paul says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. If I have Jesus, Jesus only, I possess a cluster rare. He's the sun of brightest splendor and the rose of Sharon fair. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we bow in Thy holy presence this morning. We confess today, as we started our service, that there are many needs in this congregation. There are things that come in life that we don't understand. There are trials that we face. There's burdens that we bear. There's grief and sorrow that we carry. And yet we thank Thee that Thou hast said in Thy word, that all things work together for good. That in all of the situations we are to give thanks because thou art molding our lives in all the way that thou dost lead us. Help us not to rebel against you. Help us, our God, our Father, not to be bitter when things don't go the way that we had planned. But help us to surrender. Just give over to thee. Let thee, the Lord, have his way. In your life every day, there's no peace, there's no joy until God has his way. Please, God, take control of our hearts and lives today. And if there's those who know not Jesus, oh God, save them. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.